You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hi, everybody. I'm Cassidy, one of your Indianapolis Colts cheerleaders, and you're watching the Believe in Colts podcast.
What's going on, Colts Nation? I'm Lawrence Owen, back with another Believe in Colts as we go over the Week 11 NFL. What happened? Games, news, everything. I am with Gerard Powers, Rodney McLeod, and guys, a lot of interesting things happened this past weekend for football, and I'm going to go ahead and give the floor first to Gerard. Gerard, what was one thing this past weekend, whether it's a game, a news conference, or anything of that nature that you would like to bring up to discuss?
Well, the game that I definitely want to discuss is the Cowboys going to Minnesota and doing what they did. I know everybody in the media has been talking about, this is the game that Minnesota can kind of, you know, prove to people, even though they've only lost one game or two games this whole year. Everybody still think Minnesota has to prove that they're a legit contender or whatnot. But I thought it was a big opportunity for them as well, because you're facing an NFC opponent that you might have to, you know, see again in the playoffs. So you would have think that this type of game would have had like playoff type atmosphere, you know, intensity, the stadium going crazy, you know, like one of those type of games. But to see the Cowboys go out there and, man, Zeke Elliott comes back and it's just like everything's clicking on all cylinders. Their defense was already playing at a high level. To go to Minnesota, which Minnesota and beat some pretty damn good football teams this year and has been playing some really good ball, to go up there and beat them 40-3. I don't know if that, you know, just a bad Sunday, you know, because it can happen. I don't know if that's just a bad Sunday or things to come for Minnesota, but that was interesting to me.
Bet Online remains your number one source for all your betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. As your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports and events, whether that's NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, even golf. Head to betonline.ag to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your rewards. Bet online, where the game starts. Yeah, definitely. I mean, after the game, I believe it was Michael Irvin was asked the question, who's the best team in the NFC? And he said, hands down now, the Dallas Cowboys, you know? And I'm like, didn't the Eagles do pretty much the same thing to the same team earlier in the year? I'm not sure, but, you know, I mean, who has the better record right now? I don't know. Yeah. Go check that out. But, yeah, I mean, for the Cowboys to come out and do what they did in Minnesota, that's a statement game, definitely.
Yeah. I think that, the difference between Eagles and Dallas was, Dallas did it on the road, which, you know, was a lot tougher. Challenging. Yeah. And, you know, like you said, after Minnesota, they've been on a little streak now. They've beat a lot of great teams that, you know, people honestly thought would go the other way, but they found a way to get it done. Then one thing to point out is the fact that in a lot of those games, though, they were trailing. And I think, you know, they got accustomed to this sort of style of play, right? Like, you know, we're going to bounce back, but it just doesn't happen, you know what I'm saying, every week, especially when you play good teams like Dallas. And I think that showed, and they didn't have enough to come back and turn this game around like they've done previously. And I think Justin Jefferson, you know, is a huge outlet for Kirk Cousins, and of course a dynamic player. We saw what he did last week, remarkable catch, 4th and 18. But
it's crazy,
you know, they held him wild. Catch of the year. Like, I don't even know. I still don't understand how he caught that. It's nuts. But I feel like they held him to like 33 yards or something. So, you know, that plays a huge role, limits that offense. But I still didn't expect them to, put 40 to 3 on them when I saw those highlights.
Absolutely. What's a topic that you would like to discuss, Rodney, after you get your drink there?
Yeah, I think, I mean, one game that was very surprising to me, very low scoring game, and saw that it came down to a punt return, was the New England Jets game.
What a crazy ending.
Yeah. That's just Patriots football, man. Just find any way to get it done. It doesn't matter whether it's offense, defense, special teams. They coach it all the same, and it showed in the moment that you may have thought it's going into overtime. They continue to believe, man. Those guys are coached up, you know, like no other. And so that was a huge play for them to seal the victory. But I think the biggest question mark moving forward is, you know, who's now going to be the quarterback for the New York Jets. I saw Elijah Moore, I guess, apparently put something on his story of him throwing the football. Everybody's going to be auditioning, I guess, this week for that job. But I don't know where that places this locker room now, though, too. You know, like, how many people are actually, you know, on the side of Wilson versus wanting somebody else to step in, a Flacco, right? Mm. OG coming in, and can he get him to the promised land? So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
No, you're right, because when you look at the Jets, man, they're having a good year. And then when you look at their defense, I mean, some of their young guys are emerging as superstars. And, you know, they got a solid, young, good core, good mix of veterans. And they got a defense that's been balling. So when you look at this team, it's not like they don't have, you know, enough pieces to go out there and compete, get in the playoffs and do all those things. But, man, when you're talking about the quarterback position and the leadership role and, like, maturity that comes with playing and being a starting quarterback in the NFL, I feel like Zach Wilson, man, ever since this past offseason, it's just been stories that don't have anything to do with him playing good football. You know, it was the stories with his sisters or mom or something like that in the offseason, and then all the immaturity up and down, how he plays, and then you go into the, you know, media, and the reporter asks you a simple question, you know, which is very obvious. Everybody was expecting the same answer as far as when it comes to, hey, do you think you let the, you know, defense down with the play of the offense today? And he literally looked in the camera and was just like, no. Like, no, I didn't let the defense down. It's just like, how, like, what? You know, so as a young player, a year two player, veterans are not going to let that slide, because he hasn't proven anything in this league. And I think once people really understand, or people realize, especially Rodney, how hard it is to play defense in this league when you're only giving up 3 points a game, that's pretty much a damn A-plus game, you know, for your defense, to 100%. Where you're like, man, you don't even got to score a touchdown. Just get us 2 field goals and we'll win this game, or whatever the situation was. But like Rodney said, I wonder what that locker room is like right now, because I'm pretty sure it was some intense player-only type meetings going on to kind of voice, because, like I said, when you're a young guy, you can't speak like that in the media. I mean, only proven vets can come out there and say something like that and feel okay going into the building the next day. But when it comes to, like, young guys just, you know, saying that, and now your head coach, his next interview, he has to answer to how he responded to all that, man, I'm telling you, that can cause problems in the locker room for sure.
Man, I'm sitting here looking at this, and I'm reading that, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. I mean, even if you have an interview with the defense, let's say, like, the Colts defense right now, you know, where you know, the game that they just played, they had a phenomenal game. I asked Rodney McLeod, do you feel like you let the offense down? What would be your answer to that right there?
I would say, yeah, because at the end of the day, the game kind of was it was in our hands to be able to seal the game, and you know, we failed to do that. So that's just how we treat it, man.
The best thing Zach could have said was, yes, I feel like, you know, we could have played better as an offense. Yeah. We let the defense down, but it was other things going on. Like, you know, we all can just play better as a team. Boom. Next question. And nobody would have said anything.
Correct. Exactly. Somebody got to sit Zach down
I think he got in his feelings, man. He got in his feelings.
Real quick.
Well, there's going to be a lot of players and coaches that's going to be in his feelings right after that press conference. You know, that's the way I think. As soon as he walks in that locker room after that presser, I got a feeling there's a lot of people that's going to be like, what did you say?
Yeah, you can't be cool with 1.9 as your average.
Yeah.
Cannot. You gotta accept some ownership and responsibility in that. And I mean, we all know the quarterbacks, how it works, man. You get the glory, but you also have to deal with the opposite side of things when failure happens. And yeah, somebody's got to coach the young man up on
exactly.
that one.
Well, when I asked you about, you know, what you would say, no one really blames the defense, I don't think, really too much, because, you know, the defense played a phenomenal game for the Colts, but you're still going to be, you know,
you got to be critical of yourself.
Like you
have to be critical of yourself and your side of the ball. And it's a team sport, man. And so not one side is as ever to blame. We all take responsibility in wins and losses. And absolutely. I think, like Gerard said, it's simply put, like he could have phrased it in a whole different way, except the ownership for what the offense needed to improve on, and then collectively as a team. And then you move on to the next question.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're going to move on from that topic specifically. I would like to discuss me personally. Now, we talked about the Cowboys. Let's talk about the other team besides the Eagles that we already talked about on last episode, the Giants. At home against, at the time, the 3-6 Detroit Lions, and they get their doors blown off of them, 31-18. How does the Giants respond to something like that after what the Eagles did in a fourth quarter comeback and what the Cowboys did for their own selves? How are they going to be able to bounce back from that?
Me personally, if I'm a coach, I might make a cut up of maybe 10 plays, 10 to 15 plays, and let us watch it. But sometimes when you have those ugly games like that, and you know this one, it's not our type of game or whatever, like we're way better than this. You just got to like watch a couple plays, coach them up, and just move on. Forget about it. You know, especially when, you know, things have been going well this season. Everybody's been playing well this season. Been kind of, going over expectations with the Giants. Nobody thought the Giants was going to be having the season that they're having. So sometimes to keep that mojo going, you don't want to dwell in a bad game, especially at this point of the season to where you only got a few more left and everybody's fighting for a position right now. So if I'm a head coach and I'm with the Giants right now, I'm probably going to make a little small cut up and we're moving on to next week. I don't even want people to even, you know, because when you think about the Lions, even though I'm not saying that they're, you know, the worst team in the league or whatever the case may be, you know you're better than that team at the end of the day. So you kind of want to put that behind you and just move forward. That's what I would do if I was, you know, with the Giants at the moment.
Yeah, I think sometimes you need games like this to really humble you, right? Especially for the Giants, the way their season's been going. No one's expecting them to be in this position, but I'm sure, you know, after a while, you know, they start to believe that, you know, they are. Who their record, you know, says they are, and as they should. But sometimes, right, you take these games for granted. You know, you have Detroit coming in; it's a home game, and you just think that everything is going to go the way it's always gone, right? And that just shows you any given Sunday. So sometimes you need this in the midst of your season. You know, when you think you've got it, right, somebody humbles you.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think it might be one of those times, you know, for the Giants to test them, test their character, see how they respond going into this next week, because that's how the season goes, man. It's ups and downs. There are going to be different crises that take place, and how do you respond? And the people that respond the best ultimately, you know, end up exactly where we're all trying to be. And that's, you know, in the playoffs and hopefully winning the championship. So it's I'll be interested to see how they come out this next week and how they look.
So, Rodney, with the way you were talking, it brought me back to a Star Wars meme. Right. I was thinking the Admiral Akbar, the fish head guy on Star Wars, where it's like, it's a trap. It's a trap.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That is one of those.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So final topic I think I want to discuss. I want to go through a series of events over the last 3 weeks. Okay. I would like to do that. First off, with the Indianapolis Colts a couple weeks ago, you know, obviously we fire our head coach. We get a new head coach. Whole quarterback situation happens over a three-week period. We walk in against the Raiders and beat the Raiders, who were already having a bad situation. So at the time, the Colts right now, you know, everybody's talking about them and the disarray the Colts are in. They beat the Raiders. Now it's the Raiders' turn to be talked about how much disarray the Raiders are. This past Sunday, the Raiders – on the other hand, walk right into Denver and beat them, you know. So now where does that put the Broncos at this situation where they're on the bottom end of the disarray totem pole after that series of 3 weeks?
Well, 3 weeks ago, you asked me what two coaches I thought was going to be the next two to get fired, and I might have to switch my opinion and say Denver's coach might be on the hot seat. And even saw a couple reports, but from the Raiders side, it's just crazy how winning cures everything. You know, you can be playing awful, horrible, but let you win, people will forget about what was going on in the past. But from Denver's side, man, I don't know. I mean, you know, you start out with these high expectations. You give Russell Wilson all this money. He hasn't lived up to that. And then team-wise, you know, they've been dealing with a lot of injuries and all those things that have happened, because before the season, I thought their defense would be one of the better defenses in the league too, because they do have a lot of great players. But, you know, sometimes these things happen, man. And I think right now they're just trying to do whatever they can possible to – you know, salvage their season and try to end it on a good note. But I think you gotta rebuild this thing. I think they're at that point now to where, you know, we gotta start from the bottom and just work this thing up, because I thought at the beginning of the season you had pieces in place. But, you know, looking at where they're at now, it's like, man, I didn't expect them to be playing this bad of football with the talent and the roster that they have.
Rodney, your thoughts? You don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah, I don't even. It's a shock, man, to see both teams, I think, in the position that they're in. And like you said, you know, Derek Carr had an emotional post-game press conference last week. And, you know, to come back and to get the win in OT is huge for that team, the morale of that team. And you know, they're showing that, you know, they're still staying together through it all. And, you know, that's what you want to see, man, at the end of the day. When you see guys start to lose their fight, then that more than likely means that the leadership, they don't believe in the leadership, and that's normally the head coach. And so it's encouraging for them, and I'm sure fans of the Raiders, to see them be able to bounce back and get a huge win. But on the other hand, you know, you have Denver under Russell Wilson's command. It's a surprise. And I don't know where this really puts them going into this offseason. They're going to have a lot of tough decisions to make, you know, offensively and as a team, and which direction they go in. But as Gerard said, man, they just paid them before the season took place without him taking the snap. And I was shocked myself. You know, I got a lot of respect for Russ, but I was shocked. And now they got to live with that. So,
man, I was going to say it was the last topic, but I'm going to kind of build off of that. Like, you know, like in a presser, like this is a two-part question. There's three and seven teams. Which one's been the most disappointing this year? The Raiders, the Broncos, or the Rams?
I think the Rams, because know, from, in my opinion, I thought they was going to, you look at the roster, they talk Aaron Donald and not retiring. And I mean, you got all these just studs, you know, all these great guys, great players, you know, on their team. But for whatever reason, it just seems like it's not a fit this season. I mean, you're seeing guys wide open on defense. You're seeing the run bust out of nowhere. You're seeing Matt Stafford overthrow, catch, like, balls. You're just seeing stuff that is just like, man, when it comes to Super Bowl teams that have their core intact, this is not how you play. It just seems like a chemistry thing or something is just off about them. And I don't know. I still can't figure it out, because when the Rams take the field every Sunday, I feel like I can still get that old Rams. I just don't know what I'm going to get out of them. So it's kind of a weird, I don't know if it's a motivational thing as a team, but it just seems like they're not motivated any like they were, or hungry, you know, like they were. And, you know, and that's kind of concerning, because, you know, just a couple years ago, everybody had Sean McVay as, you know, the new way of how head coach is supposed to look, do, act, how they run their teams and everything. And now we're looking at Sean McVay as like, man, you almost seem like you and changed up your whole offensive system. And, you know, it's not the same, you know, style that we're accustomed seeing from a Sean McVay's offense. So I think the Rams are more disappointing 3-6 team than any other team in the league.
Rodney, who do you think is the most disappointing 3-17? The Raiders, the Broncos, or the Rams?
I would say the Raiders. And I would say that because they did make the playoffs last year. Derek Carr is a good quarterback. They went out and they got the right pieces necessary so that you aren't able to solely lock in on the Renfros of the world, the Wallers of the world, right? They added a huge target in Devontae Adams to be able to now spread that ball around and have kind of, I would say, a two-headed monster, whether you want to go pass game and you want to load the box to try to stop Josh Jacobs, or you tend to the skill group on the outside and we allow Josh Jacobs to be effective. And you know, defensively, they added Chandler Jones and some other guys to help support up front. And so before injury started to occur, I think it was still evident that, you know, something was just off, right? And it takes time. Chemistry does take time to get to know one another, especially playing real games. We know how it works. You know, we're not playing a lot of preseason games now, so you kind of have to go through a couple games to really see, okay, who we are, what's our identity going to be. And, you know, I think after all of it, it still was disappointing that, you know, they're in the position that they are, that they're in right now. So I would probably lean on the Raiders, obviously adding Josh McDaniels, a guy who knows what it takes to win. He has a resume that shows that. So I would say the Raiders in my opinion.
Okay. All right. Well, that'll be it for this week's coverage of the NFL from week 11 for Believe here on Believe in Colts. Make sure you go check us out, YouTube, audio podcast, wherever it is you're checking us out. Don't forget to leave a like. If you're listening to this to iTunes, please leave a comment. Right. Give us a rating. It'll help us out a ton. And don't forget to smash that like button on YouTube. Appreciate that. That'll be it for this episode. I'm Lawrence Owen for Gerard Powers and Rodney McLeod. This was Believe in Colts, brought to you by Bet Online. And as usual, go Colts.
Do you believe?
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.